If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley, and I'm here with Illini guy's staff writer, Matt Stevens. We are going to break down the NFL draft, what happened for the Illini players involved, and we will also talk a little bit about the free agency signings that happened for those who were not drafted. Matt, the first up on the list, and one of the most exciting players I've seen just literally explode on the scene, Kirby Joseph ended up in the third round, the 97th pick to the Detroit Lions. What are you thinking for him? What does it look like on the Lions, and what can he expect?
He's going to expect to be on a team that I think is going to use him sparingly, but also I think drafted him because they just saw from what their press conferences were like in Detroit. And if they're being honest, because now they've already drafted the kid, so yep. The Lions season has now kind of completed. They like the athlete, and that means gunner on punt team and maybe punt returner, like special teams guy is how I think Kirby Joseph's going to make this 53-man roster. And that doesn't sound as sexy coming out of a third-round pick, but they've got two safeties that they really, really like, Mike. I don't think their new head coaching staff, and especially their new defensive staff, is against playing three safeties. That's become kind of a thing in the NFL now. Instead of playing like three corners, you might play three safeties just because they're bigger dudes. And, just getting bigger, faster, stronger is always good, no matter what sport you're playing.
Yep.
So they might go three safeties. They recognize, especially you can tell the executives, their general manager and their head coach, that they're dealing with somebody in Kirby Joseph who's still learning how to play defensive back. I mean, he did a lot of progressing under Ryan Walters in that 1 year, but it was 1 year. And I think that they see him as a developmental project, and they see him as somebody who can sit behind two safeties in their primary 4-3 look and learn the position of safety before he's asked to take over the job. As a third rounder, it's still a pretty cheap player in terms of the salary cap. So you can afford to have somebody like that as a third safety on your roster. And they like the projectable athlete. And I can't say that I blame them. I think Kirby Joseph is an unbelievable athlete. His ball skills are unbelievable, coming from the wide receiver world, going into defensive back and being able to make that transition in a very smooth way. He's going to have to learn a new defensive scheme. That's going to be key as a rookie. That's going to be something that you're not going to be able to, figure out initially from day one. And so I think that they drafted Kirby Joseph because we like the athlete. We like the projectable skills and traits. You heard that word a lot during the NFL draft coverage, no matter what network you were seeing, out of a Kirby Joseph. And I actually think they like the idea that he's not done growing and developing as a player because he hasn't played defensive back, but for more than 13, 14 months. And so when you get a player like that, especially with that kind of maturity that Kirby Joseph has as a professional, you're really encouraged when you're a Lions team that you've probably got to improve almost everywhere on the field. You might as well take the best athlete you can. And I think they did that with Kirby Joseph. I like his situation. I don't think Illini fans are going to love it because I don't think they're going to see him on the field as much as they would want from a Detroit team that's quite frankly pretty bad. But I think they're trying to build up the roster from the bottom up. And I think you've seen a lot of NFL teams start to do that. in order to make that transition in the NFL from bottom of your division to starting to compete at the top of your division.
Yeah, that Kirby is one of my favorite folks. He was lightning in a bottle, and I hope he does a fantastic job up there in Detroit. And my only disappointment is we didn't get a chance to see him play another year, because he was a ton of fun to actually watch. Next up, Vedarian Lowe. So the big tackle picked in the sixth round, pick number 184, going to the Minnesota Vikings. So what were your thoughts on that for Vedarian?
I don't care where Vedarian was going to go. He was going to make a roster. And the reason I felt strongly about that was simply because if you're going to ask somebody to be at the bottom of your roster and maybe be your third tackle, which is where Vedarian was going to get drafted, whether it was sixth round or seventh round, you were going to need somebody who was going to act like a professional. You were going to need somebody you didn't have to worry about on and off the field. You were going to need somebody who was coachable. You were going to need somebody who's an adult. That's everything that Vedarian is. And oh, by the way, on the football field, he's pretty nasty, and he's got some athletic skills at 6'5", 310 pounds. I see no reason why at Minnesota, under this new coaching staff, by the way, which I think is key for Velo and some of these other guys that we're going to talk about later on. These are first-year coaching staffs who, whatever you think about the veterans on their team, they're not married to those guys.
Exactly. And
you're talking about first-year head coach, first-year GM in Minnesota. We're going to have that situation come up here pretty quick, I think, also with another Illini player. But first-year coach, first-year GM. And so I do think Minnesota has two stalwarts at both tackles right now. But I don't think there's any reason why Velo can't be that third tackle. I don't think there's any reason why he can't supplant them eventually over the years of his rookie contract to be maybe the starting right tackle in a few years with the Minnesota Vikings. And if that's the case, then you got one hell of a steal in the sixth round by somebody that can make your, not only make your roster, but make your starting lineup, especially in your offensive line. And as we know, at every level of football, Mike, there are injuries that happen all up and down your offensive line. Yep. So Velo is going to have to be prepared to play. And I do think he's going to make the 53 of Minnesota very, very easily, just simply by what he does in terms of how he conducts himself. And also you're going to see his skill set be extremely a lot. I think Minnesota is going to be surprised at what he can do athletically and what he can do technically after being with Bart Miller and Brett Bielema for a year as a starting left tackle at Illinois.
Yeah, and I would tell Velo two words: Fat Lorenzo's, one of the best pizza places yep. in the country. And if you order there, order a bread stick, not bread sticks, because the bread stick's about, I don't know, almost, you know, probably 3 inches around and about 20 inches long. So that is a real key.
Yeah, I would also say to Velo, surprisingly, and I've been to Minnesota many times for two road games and for road basketball games, there's good barbecue in Minnesota, believe it or not. And it's sneaky good if you know where to go.
Yep.
And it's one of those, it's weird. It's kind of, Minnesota St. Paul to me has this feel of Oxford, Mississippi. And what I mean by that is like you can get really, really good barbecue at this hole in the wall place near a gas station. Like, and there's like three different places in the Twin Cities you can do it, get it.
Yep.
And like in Oxford, Mississippi, the best barbecue you can get is at a gas station. So like, I mean, it's just, you can't say that to people in the Midwest and have them like do the head tilt kind of weird look at you, but it's true. Trust me. And he's not going to like, it's one of the up and coming places to live is Minneapolis. It's ice cold.
Yeah. Minneapolis is excellent. And I can tell you that you come down to Texas here, you got great barbecue spots. And then you also have gas stations that have incredible tacos, which just seems anathema to me that I'm going to go to eat tacos at a gas station drive up, you know, but then I find myself doing it and then they taste really good. So that's the thing. But yeah, I Fat Lorenzo's, amazing pizza. So Vedarian, go there, tell them I sent you. Next up, and this was one that, again, apparently The NFC North is where this reminds me of the old days when you would actually had a higher likelihood of getting drafted by pro teams that were close by because it was easier for their scouts to find you. But Doug Kramer drafted in the sixth round, pick number 207 to the Bears.
Yeah, Doug's got a 40-minute drive to work.
Yeah,
like all of us in life, you know, he'll make the drive from Hinsdale to Hallis Hall over in Lake Forest when minicamp starts in early May. And for a kid that grew up, honestly, an Illinois fan, mom and dad are Illinois graduates, as everybody knows, but also a Bears fan, diehard Bears fan. This is pretty cool. And here's the deal: is that I think a lot of people were surprised that Doug got drafted. At least based off our message board, I was not. When you look at Doug's tape over this last year, I'm eliminating the tape when he was being coached under the Lovie Smith administration, even though that's good tape. Don't get me wrong. When you look at the 1 year that he was able to get developed under Bart Miller and Brett Bielema,
yep.
And then you evaluate the idea that over those last eight games, he was basically playing on one foot and one leg. And then you hear Brett Bielema talk about how he's one of the best centers he's been around. Let me be very clear. The highest paid center in the National Football League right now was coached by Brett Bielema in college. And so when he says those things, when he compares him to Mike Devlin, who had a 10 plus year career in the National Football League, Doug Kramer, I think, has a really good shot of making the Chicago roster. I will raise my hand and tell you that as of now, even though I was, you know, kind of campaigning for, you know, fan free agency during this draft, I am a Bears fan. I always have been, probably always will be, begrudgingly at this point. but I think I know for a fact, first year head coach, first year GM. So there's nobody on that offensive line that is married to the coach and the GM.
Right.
And I look at what the Bears are from guard to guard on the interior spots, and short of Cody Whitehair, there isn't anybody I would keep. And I don't think that, you know, Ryan Poles, the GM, or, you know, Matt Eberflus, the head coach over in Chicago, feels any differently. And so when you look at Doug Kramer and you tell me at worst this next year that Doug's going to be on the practice squad, that's pretty good. I think Doug has a chance to be on that 53-man roster. I think he has a chance to be a guy that can slide into one of those interior spots before the year is over, simply because I know for a fact that when you talk about somebody who was a former walk-on, earned a scholarship immediately from Lovie Smith, and then started more games than anybody in the Illinois career. Paucho will break that record this next coming fall. But Doug Kramer is a guy that I think you're just going to want in your locker room. You're going to want in your football team. And the tape shows that he's very effective on the move, which is what offensive linemen are starting to do in the NFL a lot more. We're changing the pocket constantly now, yep. With the Patrick Mahomes of the world wanting to get out wide. He can do shotgun snaps. He's very comfortable under center when the quarterback's under center. He's very, very confident in leading the other five guys. I think a lot of offensive line, you know, quote unquote experts in this league look at Nick Allegretti right now, and they look at Doug Kramer and they see a very, very similar person. And I also believe that because Ryan Poles, who was the former assistant GM at Kansas City, just drafted Doug Kramer and would talk a lot about how Nick Allegretti was a linchpin part of that offensive line that went to the Super Bowl in Kansas City. I think he sees a lot of similar traits. And you know, a lot of what was talked about was how do we keep, when Myron Poles was in Kansas City, was how do we keep, you know, Patrick Mahomes upright? And I think there was a lot of conversation in that draft room in you know, wherever it was, but and at Hallis Hall specifically about, hey, we got Justin Fields here. Let's keep him upright and let's keep him healthy. Yep. And I do think that Doug Kramer is going to be somebody that can help Justin Fields from a developmental standpoint, you know, get better as a player and not have to worry about making the checks at the line that this coaching staff's going to ask him to make. So I think from a in the meeting room, in the film room, on the field, Doug Kramer makes your football team better. And I was just happy to see him, you know, be able to have this opportunity in Chicago, because I think it's going to, I think it's going to pay dividends for Doug. And I think it's a testament to, if you really want to work hard enough, you can make yourself into an NFL player. And that's exactly what Doug Kramer's done.
Yeah, that was excellent. It's hard. It's hard, you know, not to feel good about each one of these gentlemen. But certainly,
and you're right about the assessment, Mike, that like 2022 became a much more regional draft than I've ever seen before, which is, you got the Jaguars taking the SEC guy because of his high ceiling, and Detroit sitting there at number two going, okay, cool, we'll take the best player in the draft, who, oh, by the way, happens to be from Michigan and couldn't be happier to be staying in Detroit. You know, I mean, there were a lot of that. You saw Kenny Pickett basically get
staying
by the team, by the Steelers, and he works out, watches film, and does meetings across the hall from where the Steelers work. You know, it's the same facility. It's the same stadium that they played in. It became a much more regional draft than I expected. And I don't want to speculate, but I guess I will here, is that something grabs me about the whole COVID thing. We're still coming out of the COVID thing, and I wonder how many guys got out all over the country to be able to, you know, shake their hand and be able to speak to enough guys.
Right.
I know they have the combine interviews and stuff, but you can't speak to everybody. And I wonder if your regional scouts really made a difference in these NFL teams, because there were a lot of regional picks, more than I've ever seen in the last few drafts than there was here in 2022.
Yeah. And you just did what we call a Dan Dierdorf, which is use the word, I don't want to speculate, and then turn around and speculate. If you recall back on Monday Night Football, I always loved it. I don't want to speculate, but this could be the worst injury ever. You know,
I loved Al Franken and Dan. So anytime you want to make that comparison to me, I'll be Dan. Sure.
Perfect. So next up, now we're talking guys who were free agents. Sure. So for those who don't know, then that basically means they didn't get drafted. And then the nice thing is the NFL is their oyster. They could kind of sift amongst people or teams that were interested in them and then sign with the team that they wanted to. So there's a unique beauty in being undrafted, because you don't then have to pick up and move to a place that you had no say in where that is. So
let me add to that, Mike, and I'll talk to the sales guy in you for this, is that also I dealt with this with Tony Romo a while back when he didn't get drafted out of Eastern Illinois. And I was sitting there as a student reporter, and I called Tony, and he walked me through the whole process, which was kind of interesting. I mean, Tony didn't want to be undrafted. Let's be very clear about this. And I didn't think, and I trust me, at that period of time, folks, it was 7 rounds all in one day on a Saturday. Trust me. And I spent my whole day watching that darn thing, and Tony never got drafted. I've never wasted more time in my life. And it was interesting, though, because Mike, as I'll talk to the sales guy and you, it then immediately after Brock Purdy gets drafted at the end of this 2022 NFL draft, right? Now it's the Wild West, because guess what? Now there's no salary restriction to what we can offer these guys. And there's no signing bonus restriction to what we can offer these guys. There's no signing bonus restriction at all. It's the Wild West. We can offer a dude $100,000 as an undrafted free agent if we really want him to come in and you know, try to get him. So then there's no rules. Like, it's the NCAA transfer portal all over again, immediately after that last pick and then after Mr. Irrelevant gets picked. And you saw that. You saw immediately some guys get nabbed that I thought were going to get drafted. And even if you're not one of those guys, it's kind of an interesting balancing act between what your agent should be doing and what these NFL teams are trying to do, which is your agent's trying to put you in the best scenario possible. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean a big salary, you know, a big signing bonus immediately right off the bat before you ever get to the rookie mini camp? Or does that mean taking a little bit, maybe less money and going to a better situation where you might be able to actually make the team come preseason camp and then maybe make the 53. That's what these guys are going through in their mind right now and trying to figure out. And you saw the frenzy that is every year, the undrafted free agents, because and there's no limit on how many you can sign either, by the way. So you can take as many as you want, as long as you can get to by that first week of training camp, you get down to 90 on your roster. You know, you can sign as many undrafted free agents as you want. The draft, my favorite example, and we'll get to this team because they have a couple of guys that were, at least one guy that was signed out of Illinois, but the Miami Dolphins had four picks. So they have a lot of undrafted, they're going to have a lot of undrafted free agents.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that just because you weren't drafted, you know, by Miami and you got signed as an undrafted free agent, doesn't mean you're not going to make the 53, because they've got to eventually come up with 53 guys, you know? So they only have four draftees. Well, that means on a normal draft, Mike, there are seven rounds. So there's three spots there that Miami is not accounting for right now. So, there's a lot of Wild West that goes on immediately after Mr. Irrelevant is picked.
Yeah. And, you know, it's awesome for these guys that they get this opportunity. And the first up would be Kalon Tolson, who ended up signing with the Panthers. So congratulations to him. Any thoughts on that situation?
I think Kalon's going to be a guy who basically becomes a very, very difficult cut at the training camp level. And by that is from a, you know, speed, height, speed, weight kind of thing. He's not exactly somebody that's going to wow you. You know, his 40 time's a little slow. He's a little bit bigger than you'd want. He's actually kind of, you know, smaller than you'd really kind of want from a height standpoint. Plug in the tape and you realize he's kind of always around the football. That kind of always plays. I could see him being a guy who gets cut, and then you're always those guys that are right before the you know, first week of camp starts, the first week of the season starts. You see those guys that get picked up on training, on practice squads, sometimes even by the same team that cut them. You know, it's kind of like hitting the waiver wire once everybody kind of goes through, and then, hey, we can just put this guy back on. A lot of guys get cut simply because they want to be put, the team wants to put them on the practice squad. I could see Kalon being that kind of a dude. Again, just from a, it's unfortunate because he plays so darn hard, and he's got good tape. It's just the, when you saw him at pro day, you knew that he wasn't going to wow scouts with what he was going to put on paper.
Right. Well, and you know, the next up would be James McCourt, one of our favorite kickers, who's been quite the hero for the Illini over the years, signing with the Chargers. So at least he'll be kicking in weather that will almost never resemble the Memorial Stadium.
Yeah, I mean, if they had still been in San Diego, it would even be better. But, like, one of the best things to do, Mike, is to be the weather guy in San Diego or Los Angeles. I think he's got a shot. The kicker thing is always interesting to me because, again, it's kind of like quarterback. It's even worse than quarterback. There's only one of them on a 53-man team. So what I always talk about is, like, and you've seen it with Chase McLaughlin all the time, is right. What I call the kicking caravan, which starts on Monday of the practice week and then usually ends on, like, Thursday. And you'll see guys get signed, like, on Thursday as after they come in and do the kicking, what I call the kicking caravan, which is, like, four or five, six guys come in. If you're looking for somebody who you need a kickoff guy, if you're looking for somebody who needs, you know, a big leg kicking guy, you're in the right ballpark if you're going after a James McCourt. And I wouldn't shock me if a lot of undrafted free agent guys, whether they're punters or kickers, end up making the 53, just because it's doesn't pay off to waste a draft pick on a specialist kicker. But I think James McCourt will end up, at worst, I think, being one of those guys that maybe plays a year of professional football and might end up on three teams, you know, because you know, the kicking thing is so, you know, it's if you miss three in a row, suddenly you get cut, and then somebody, you know, blows their ACL out as a kicker, and now we need a kicker. Okay, James McCourt is available. There are always those guys that are just kind of, you know, again, you know, caravanning the country trying to get kicking jobs all over. And I think James will possibly be that guy. And I also think he's got that ability as an international player to have a connection that way. And you know, and if there was a World Football League, he could probably go over there and play. But there are a lot of options for James McCourt coming out of Illinois with the skill set that he has and what he was able to produce and what I saw at Pro Day at Illinois, which was really impressive.
And he won't be alone. Brandon Peters will be out there with the Chargers as well.
Brandon's a guy that I think that if he ever put it all together, and I'll be honest with everybody, and not everybody wanted to hear this, I was really impressed with the way that Brandon looked at Pro Day. You were talking about somebody who was a little bit thinner, yep, a little bit more athletic, looked more like a basketball player, Mike, than a football player. If he can ever put it together, you know, in between the ears and from a confidence standpoint, I have no doubt that he could possibly make a team and be the third, you know, at the very least as a rookie, be a third quarterback somewhere when you've got the salary cap issue, you've got a whole bunch of guys that they don't want to pay a whole bunch of big money to on that third quarterback that they're possibly going to take on a road game or even a week. You're seeing NFL teams now only take two quarterbacks on their active roster now. But if that's the case, and there's a whole bunch of quarterbacks that are on practice squads. And so, you know, is Brandon's not going to supplant Justin Herbert anytime soon in Los Angeles, but there's a quarterback two spot and there's a quarterback three spot pretty much on every NFL team. And if he ever put it together, and I don't even think it's more of a mental thing. I think it's a confidence thing for Brandon, to be honest. And I've never seen him more confident than what he was able to physically do, some of the things he was able to do at Pro Day. And I'm not talking about throwing the football. Like, I'm talking about, you know, what he did on the bench press, what he did in his, yep, what I call the president's physical fitness stuff, right? When he's able to translate that into confidence throwing the football, and it's all about confidence with Brandon. We'll see what happens when he gets into a do or die situation where your job's on the line. Maybe the light bulb will come on for Brandon at that point. And I really hope so, because I mean, I wanted it to work so bad for him at Illinois. And you hear these stories all the time, Mike, about when somebody got to professional football, they were finally, the light just switched on. Yep. And it was the environment that they always should have been in the first place. And maybe that's Brandon, but if it's not, it's unfortunate, but I think it's all about confidence for Brandon Peters. It's not about anything else because the skill set is there.
Yes, and that was Barking Dog Central. So apparently they were very much in favor of Brandon Peters.
Not in favor, which we reflect our message boards a lot on Brandon.
Yeah, now Jake Hansen managed to get the Houston Texans to give him an opportunity.
This is the safest bet of any of the undrafted free agents. I said it on Twitter. If there was ever a chance for Lovie Smith to pound the table for somebody and bring him in as an undrafted free agent and bring him into his football program and let him compete for a roster spot, it was going to be Lovie Smith for Jake Hansen. I've never seen anybody love a player more than Lovie Smith loved Jake Hansen. And the questions about Jake are very, very simple. They are you healthy enough to play, which was a major question and why Jake wasn't able to do anything in terms of his pro day, the combine, all of that stuff. You have to figure that Jake Hansen is going to be a guy that if healthy, he's going to prove to you one thing: he's always going to be around the football. But from a physical standpoint, you know, there was always going to be as long as Lovie Smith had a job in the NFL, he was going to pound the table for this dude. And I hope it works out for Jake, because he had a really, really great Illinois career. And there's just no doubt that he was Lovie Smith's best defensive player of his tenure. And so he's rewarding Jake with the opportunity to compete for a roster spot. And I'm sure Jake will give it everything he's got, because that's the guy he loved to play for more than anybody in the world at Illinois anyway. So
we'll keep our fingers crossed for him. And Tony Adams, the New York Jets, who've really pulled a lot of athletes into that team in one draft here.
Yeah, and they did a lot of trait drafting, if you saw, what they did at the top and what they did at the bottom. Tony Adams is another trait guy.
Yeah.
I mean, Mike, I wish you could have seen what he ran. I mean, it was sub 4.4 in his pro day. I mean, it was exactly what you wanted to see Tony run. There's no reason why, if Tony can't put it all together, again, from a confidence standpoint and from a getting the playbook down standpoint and just playing with his hair on fire type of deal, he can't make a roster. And I know that he was drafted, but just in the same way that Nate Hobbs made an impact in his rookie year with the Raiders on the field, that's Tony's guy. And, you know, and that's been Tony's mentor throughout his entire time at Illinois, and mentioned it to me during the pro day. You know, take everything that happened with Nate off the field away from this discussion.
Right.
Tony Adams wanted to know how to make an NFL roster, and he phoned up his buddy Nate Hobbs. And there's no reason why Tony can't make a roster just based off of the physical skills that he has. And I think he owes a lot of gratitude to Ryan Walters and you know, Aaron Henry for being able to prepare him for this situation. And that meant also benching him after the UT. This is a guy that got benched after the UTSA game and earned his starting spot back 2 weeks later because, you know, he had that caliprod stuck up his rear. And yep. When you do that with Tony Adams and you see that type of effort, and it's not even really an effort thing. Again, I talk about it, it's a confidence thing. And if Tony Adams just goes into a training camp and plays with his hair on fire, there's no reason why he can't at least stand out and be a guy that ends up on a practice squad.
And Owen Carney made it down to the Miami. So there's a shock and awe there, but you got to give him credit because what fantastic weather down there.
Well, and Owen's from Miami.
Yep, so exactly.
You've got that situation where he knows, again, in a similar vein to Doug Kramer getting drafted by the Bears, Owen Carney is going to play his heart out for the Miami Dolphins and try to make that team. And if you believe everything that Brett Bielema has ever said about OC, he has the physical traits, 6'5", 270 pounds, yep, of a guy that, again, Miami's a 3-4 team. They're looking for dudes that are going to put Owen Carney in a 2-point stance and say, hey, go get the quarterback and go make absolute damage and go create havoc in the backfield. And that's what OC does the best. And that's what you saw in the last, I would say, 9 games that he played at Illinois. No, that's not fair. I would say the last 2 years, because he had 2 solid years of tape at Illinois when he was put in a situation where, and put in 2 totally different situations where the year before Brett Bielema, he's got his hand in the ground.
Yep.
And then he gets hooked up with Kevin Kane and decides, okay, now I'm going to be an outside linebacker and they're going to treat me like Lawrence Taylor. And so he excelled in that regard too, leading Illinois in sacks and being a disruptor in that regard. So again, in that situation, I think OC is going to be just fine. And I think Brett Bielema is somebody who I know pounded the table pretty hard for OC to get an NFL opportunity. And I'm glad that he was able to do that.
Yeah. He's one that I don't know. He just looks like an NFL player to me, the way he sure plays. He's the guy that I'm going to bet on. Last one that we've got knowledge of right now is Roderick Perry going to the Cleveland Browns. So there's a team that looks like it's getting loaded up and ready to compete for something bigger. How will that situation look for him?
Another guy that has, again, if you're looking for versatility, look no further than Rod Perry, because you're talking about somebody who can play defensive tackle in a 4-3 scheme, which you saw under Lovie Smith, which is what he specifically was brought here to do. And then in this final year at Illinois, he was able to play the nose pretty effectively at Illinois, yep, under Brett Bielema and Ryan Walters in that 3-4 scheme. So when you're looking for somebody in a practice squad to be able to give you different looks, you know, Rod's going to try to make that practice squad. And that doesn't necessarily mean making the 53, but making it some, you know, where you're giving everybody a versatility look. Rod's going to be able to do that. Total professional. He's somebody that walks into a meeting room and walks into your locker room and walks into your facility. And is just I get very similar, not the same. I don't think anybody was at that level at Illinois that Velo was at, but I get the Vidarian Lowe comparisons a lot with Rod Perry, because he came in as a transfer from South Carolina State. Didn't know anybody in the world on that team, and immediately became a leader in that locker room and a older guy that guys, like, quite honestly, guys, you know, like a Keith Randolph and a Johnny Newton could draw to immediately and learn how to play the position and do it the right way. Again, a guy that just acts like a professional, and you're going to bring him in and see what he can do physically and see what he can help you with. But from a versatility standpoint on the field, I think Rod helps you out no matter what franchise he was going to. And I think Cleveland's going to see if he can at least be a practice squad guy on their team.
The last person that people probably have questions about Blake Hayes, And you're saying this is more of a strategic move right now?
I think it has to be, because I think Blake Hayes is one of the I would say four or five best kickers, or for the four or five best punters in this draft. And I know that there are a lot of people, the Bears took a punter and his name was not Blake Hayes. And I know there are a lot of Bear fans that are disappointed by this. Not sure what you're looking for, because I think Blake didn't have the biggest leg of anybody in this draft, but he got the job done and was one of the best in the Big Ten. Yeah. And so I'm not going to pull a Dan Dierdorf here. I am speculating because I don't know Blake's situation, but here's what I do know. One, he's an incredibly smart person just individually. Two, I'm sure that he got hooked up with a very, very interesting and intelligent, you know, agent and personnel person. And what they're doing right now, because he specifically plays something that again, you're only going to have one guy, or maybe even at most two guys, one guy and maybe one guy on a practice squad on your roster. He's got to be pretty strategic about where he goes in order to try to make the team. Now, like I said, with James McCourt, there are a lot of guys that are undrafted free agents in the kicker and punter world that end up making the 53-man roster and end up being that team's kicker and a punter, just the way it works. The system works now. I think if you're Blake Hayes, you're going to wait around a little bit. I think training rookie mini camps start in about a week. I think you'll definitely see Blake Hayes at a rookie mini camp, and you'll see him trying to make a team at this point. But I think when you get together with your people, and that I know for a fact, again, I'm going to use him as an example. Tony Romo did this. Tony Romo got offered more money off the top. I know this for a fact when he got undrafted by other teams. But he looked at Dallas's situation and said, I can be their third quarterback. I can make it. Sean Payton was the all-time leading passer at Eastern. He believes in me. I've had conversations with Sean, who was the offensive coordinator in Dallas at that time. I'm going to go there because I think they're going to give me a shot. And I think by week 9 on Monday Night Football, he's coming in replacing Drew Bledsoe in the second half of a Monday Night Football game undrafted rookie quarterback. So my point in saying that story is that if you're Blake Hayes, you've got to be strategic in where you go, because the idea here is to try to make a team. And where can I go to beat out the punter that's either cemented there right now, or the fact that maybe they didn't have a punter. So if the team drafted a punter, you're probably cutting them out. If they have a longtime veteran punter that they believe in, you're probably not interested in going there, but you're interested in going somewhere where there's going to be a roster fight for that job. And I think that Blake Hayes is going to be a guy that's looking for those opportunities. And I think over the next 24, 48 hours, you're going to see Blake Hayes sign with somebody and be in a rookie minicamp on the path to basically trying to win that punter job, wherever it is among those 30 plus NFL teams that have an opening right now.
Excellent. So that was a fantastic recap of kind of where the NFL draft is and the Illini that are involved in it. It's kind of nice to actually have a list of Illini that people want to try out at the NFL level. That's kind of a new thing.
First time since 2016, Mike, that three guys got drafted in the first six rounds of the NFL draft. I mean, this isn't, this isn't Georgia defense right now that we're dealing with Illini football, but we're getting there.
And give me a year or two.
There were years where Illinois went over in the draft.
Yep.
And so I don't see that in the horizon right now of the future of Illinois football. I think you're going to see a good amount of guys get drafted pretty much every year. And it also, I would say, and I put this out on Twitter, it's even when he got fired at Arkansas and went into professional football, this is the 16th consecutive year where somebody who was either coached or recruited by Brett Bielema has been drafted in the NFL. And so that leads me to believe that there's going to be multiple Illinois players go in this NFL draft in 2023, 2024, and 2025, simply because Brett just has a history of putting guys in pro ball. And that's an unarguable fact. So, yeah, it is really nice for Illini fans to be able to, like, kind of, from a periphery, look at the draft and go, hey, we didn't go over again, because there were a lot of snarky stuff on Twitter at the end of, like, Saturday night in a draft where Illinois was over and, like, say, the Indiana University of Pennsylvania would have two guys drafted or something.
Yeah,
would go over.
I don't think we live in that world anymore, Mike. I think that's done. I think that you're going to see guys get drafted out of the Illini program each and every year. And I think it's just kind of now where you're seeing the end of the Lovie Smith era when he started playing all those young kids, Doug Kramer, Alex Palcheski, Velo, Jake Hansen, when he started playing all those young kids, Tony Adams.
Yep.
Now you're starting to see the beginning of the Bielema era where, you know, you're starting to see these recruited guys that I think are going to be really, really good prospects by the time that they're ready to hang it up and ready to start their professional journey.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Matt. You can read Matt, his articles and his columns are on the IlliniGuys.com website. Of course, you can become a member of IlliniGuys.com. Simply get a 7-day free trial. That is, most people will, on the seventh day, you get charged that $99 a year or your $10.99 a month. But either way, we would love to have you. And of course, generally at the end of that time period, if you read the articles that we give you coupled with the message boards and what you can read about the Illini in the transfer portal, both football and basketball, there's plenty of tidbits and nuggets in there that makes it worth sticking around. We also have the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular, the radio show that's on weekends. You can check IlliniGuys.com, go to the radio button. You can see a list of the 29 different stations across Illinois that you can hear us on. And you can find a local station and find the day and time and tune in. All we ask is that you communicate with the station. Let them know that you like us. And of course, we also have our series of podcasts. Sturdy for 30 this week had Brad Squared. Brad Sturdy interviewed Brad Underwood. A fascinating interview. Well worth listening to. Ked's Recruiting Roundup has had everybody of the basketball commits other than Sincere Harris has been on in the last couple of weeks. So you hear what it's like to be a recruit, what it's like to be a recruit's parents, or a recruit's coach. You get the opposite side of the perspective, something that no one else really gives you. So we would love to see you over at IlliniGuys.com. And of course, we will be back with more things as the transfer portal gets up and down and things happen. And we don't know what's going to happen next, but we can tell you is when it does, you can read all about it or hear all about it on IlliniGuys.com. Thank you very much, folks. Bye-bye.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.